这个谈经好像好久没讲了哈，好像有三个月了，讲已经三个月讲了，还是超过三个月以前讲，我印象中。
We haven't talked about the Platform Sutra for a long time. I think maybe it has been over 3 months already, isn't that right? It feels like it has been a long time gap between the previous and this talk.
这个都没有听过谈经的，请举手，都没有听过的。都没有听过，一次都没听过的，请举手。
Is there any of you who have never heard of the Platform Sutra? If that's the case, please raise your hand.
哎，就三位吗？他听过吗 ？You?
Have you ever heard of the Platform Sutra? Yeah, miss. Yeah.
就是做我讲功德品这个，他听其他听过没有
？How about specifically Chapter 2, the chapter on merit? OK，
听过其他的，所以我们现在在准备把这个，是其实它这个地这个功德净土哈，它是两个问题啊。这第二章呢，其实提出两个问题，就是功德的问题，还有净土的这个问题。然后想把这个第一个问题呢，要做两次把它解决。
Basically, this chapter covers two topics. First one is about merit and virtue, and the second one is about pure land. And I plan to take this time as well as the next talk to cover the question of merit and virtue.
You seem to understand what Fa is talking about. You always smile.
他说法师微笑，所以他也微笑了，不见得代表他听
得懂。我在讲中文，他一直在笑，我想他听得懂我讲什么。因为三个月不见，他因为中文进步了哈。
She thought that your Chinese has improved so much over the past 3 months.
没错，you smile so loud, so loudly. 好，所以我想准备把这个功德，他问这个功德或福德这个问题呢，因为以前讲过，我想就不要再叨叨讲了，让他讲去了。但是因为隔三个月没有讲呢，我想还是把前面的讲过的再把它，用最快的速度再把它重温习一下，然后再讲到接着今天讲的，然后来自下一次就把这一个问题把它全部解决。
So previously we have already discussed the topic about merit and virtue or about blessings and virtue.So I really don't want to drag on for a long time. However, because it has been over 3 months since we last touched upon this topic, so we have to do some brief review and then also taking this time and as well as the next talk on November, beginning of November to finish this topic on merit and virtue.
这个就是一个这个观呢，就是伪智识哈，这个。不管他是什么官，他就是官呐、啊，他是就是做官的啊，刚才也信佛啊、哦，所以他也跟谈六祖呢，供养六祖啊，这个供养六祖吃饭之后呢，这个一般呢就是吃饭之后一定要说法，就像佛供养佛吃饭之后呢，就像楞严经呢，佛没有说法就要回誓愿是没得没完没了，是深重的就跟是大众的跟着佛。回到寺院也要请佛说法，所以这个吃饭之后呢，韦智识就请六祖呢为他讲解决一些他心里的疑问，有两个疑问哈、哦、第一个疑问就是功德或福德，第二个问题就是念佛生西方的问题。
So this chapter is originated fromthis official back in China in ancient days, Magistrate Wei, making an offering to the sixth patriarch, Hui Nan. And based on Buddhist traditions, after making a lunch meal offering, it always follows with Dharma talk, just like in the Buddha's time. And back in the Buddha's days, after every meal offering, the Buddha has to give teachings on the Dharma. If he doesn't, then everybody follows him back to the temple and he will give the talk then. So after the meal, the Magistrate Wei, brought up these two questions that he had. The first question is regarding the issue of merit and virtue. And the second one is a question based on the being reborn into the pure land.
第一个问题呢，就是讲功德福德，那个一个缘起是这个为智识呢，说哎，那个大师，您的法，您所说的法呢，是不是来自这传承来自于达摩祖师？
So the first question is about merit versus blessing, merit and virtue versus blessings. And so he started, Magistrate Wei started the question by asking the sixth patriarch that whether your dharma, your teaching follows the lineage of Bodhidharma of the first patriarch.
关于达摩祖师就有一个这个脍炙人口哈，所以在当时中国呢，不管是信佛不能信佛，那一般的这个民间呢，都有就是都是大家都知道这么一个故事，就是达摩祖师跟杨武帝的之间的一个公案。
Speaking of Bodhidharma, there is a very very famous story, a case between Bodhidharma and Emperor Wu of Liang, and this story is very well, it's very widespread in China. Everybody, whether you are Buddhist or non-Buddhist, everybody knows about this story, this exchange happening between Bodhidharma and Emperor Wu.
我还没讲这故事，你们一定知道这个，知道故事的请举手。
Even before I say it, is there any of you who know the story already? The story between Bodhidharma and Emperor Wu? If you do, please raise your hand.
哟，怎么会这么少呢？这个故事也上次我讲谁讲过了吗
？How could there be so few? I've said the story before.
好，我在另外一个角度讲哈，没有听过的，不知道这两个之间有什么过节的。
How about for those of you who have never heard of the story, can you raise your hand?
哟，我们那个郑代明的儿子也不知道吗？好，那这个故事可以讲。
So I guess I will retell the story because some of you don't know the story yet.
这达摩祖师出来到这个跟杨武帝见面的时候呢，这杨武帝呢，因为他做了很多的这个丰功伟业哈，哪一种丰功伟业呢？他是信佛的，对佛教呢，就护持佛教非常热心的，他。这个记载是说他建了是800多座的这个寺院，他起建的寺院800多座，还是840是我不是确定的，但800多座的寺院，然后呢护持大概有10万个人出家，说只要你愿意出家呢，他就护持他，就是给他这个些供养啊，还是或是推荐他当哪个寺院啊，因为他建了很多寺院嘛，还是当皇帝的。总之他是做了很多，他自认为做了很多很多的很多很多的好事，所以他一见的那个达摩祖师呢，就问他说，我做了这些事，做了什么事，我是不是功德很大，我的功劳是不是很大呢？啊，结果达摩呢给他一个当头棒喝哈，给他一个泼一个一泼头一头的冷水，跟他说一点都没有功德。
So the story goes, when Bodhidharma first came to China, he met up with Emperor Wu. And Emperor Wu was a Buddhist, and he had done many, many grand deeds. According to a record, he had established or built about approximately 800 some monasteries or temples. And also he had supported more than 100,000 Sangha, left home monks or left home people and gave them sanctions. So whoever wants to become a monk, he would support them. So based on that, Emperor Wu believed that he had done a great amount of good deeds. So as soon as he saw Bodhidharma, he was eager and asked, so how much merit and virtue do I have based on everything that I have done? And Bodhidharma answered him, none.
为刺史说听就知道这个故事，他心里很疑惑，说其实我不了解这个道理，为什么杨武帝没有功德呢？所以他请求六祖为他解释。对啊，六祖还没解释之前，我看看诸位，你们有没有同样的疑问呢、啊？ 有同样疑问说奇怪应该做这么多的好事应该有功德啊怎么没有功德呢同样有跟他同样的疑问的请举手。
So, the magistrate in the beginning of this chapter, heard about the story and he has been quite baffled. And that is why he asked this question to the sixth patriarch. But why is it, the Emperor Wu had done so many good deeds, but why did Bodhidharma tell him that he hadn't done anything? He had no merit and virtue. Well, before we go on and discuss what the sixth patriarch answered, let me ask you first, do any of you here have similar kind of questions as the magistrate Wei? Do any of you are any of you wondering why is it that Emperor Wu had done so many good deeds, yet the Bodhidharma told him that he doesn't have any merit and virtue? Do you have similar doubts?
Jesus.
Raise your hand, please, if you are kind of baffled as well.
你们他笑了这样子，所以这搞这个，觉得模棱两可，你们大概都是模棱两可的，都是集中分子，都是极强主义。
Some of you may be sort of standing on the middle ground, kind of iffy about it, but doesn't really want to raise your hand, but not really quite sure why. Why the answer was so.
你们都没有举，没有举手，是不是？另外角度讲，你们是不是认为他真的没有功德？
For those of you who didn't raise your hand, does that mean you agree with Bodhidharma that Emperor Wu has no merit and virtue whatsoever?
请举手。
Raise your hand also if you agree already with Bodhidharma.
也只有两位、三位啊，所以你看，这其中间的很多都是不举手的。
There are only three of you that raise your hand. So as you can see, there are many of you here who are sort of undecided. No matter in which, from which angle I ask the question, you don't dare to raise your hand.
我们一般来讲，我们世界人认为说做好事哦，就是那么哦，你这做功德，你是做功德，有没有？台湾话都讲哦，你这样你做功德，有没有？即使是那个。 其实，如果梁武帝哈，他如果换一个字眼来跟那个达摩祖师问说，说我是不是很福德很大呢？他换一个福德的话呢，啊，就两个可以继续再互动了。但是他就讲个功德呢，梁武达摩就给他一个很泼冷水呢，从此就跟他没缘了，就不讲话了，也不招待他，不供养他了。所以赵达摩就。 就远走这个京城呐，就离开一个皇帝了，就是去闭关，去叫什么？面壁九年哈，到嵩山呢，嵩山寺面壁九年，等到一个慧可。
So, well, this is merit and virtue is actually a very common expression in the realm of Buddhists. And oftentimes when people do some good deeds, other people will praise that person saying, oh, you're cultivating so much merit and virtue. You have so much merit and virtues. So that is why Emperor Wu asked that question. And so when he asked Bodhidharma whether he had accumulated any merit and virtues, Bodhidharma told him no right away. And from that point on, Bodhidharma, in a sense, has severed the tie, the affinity between him and Emperor Wu. But on the other hand, had Emperor Wu, instead of using the phrase merit and virtue, had he used the other phrase, have I accumulated any blessings and virtues? In that case, I'm sure Bodhidharma will give him an affirmative answer, and maybe then their affinity would not be severed. So instead, because he asked whether I have any merit or virtue, Bodhidharma said no, so their relationship couldn't continue. So Emperor Wu ceased to provide support for Bodhidharma, and Bodhidharma thus left the capital at that time and went away, and he went into enclosure and self-cultivation for 9 years. In total. So he waited for 9 years in seclusion to wait for the person to pass on his teaching. to pass on his lineage.
所以这个其实是我们中国人讲那个用语的习惯呢，认为说做什么好事、利益世界这种终身的事情呢，都是把是把福跟功呢混淆在一起，把福德跟功德呢混合在一起，甚至就是在没有深究其中的道理呢，所以就是混合用，其实很大的错误呢。达摩祖师呢给我们理清了这个功跟福的这个分别。
This, we could actually say this could be due to an error in the use of the Chinese expression, merit and virtue. In Chinese, oftentimes we put it together and say merit and virtue instead of making the distinction between merit versus blessings. Merit and virtue versus blessings and virtue. So fortunately, over here, Bodhidharma as well as the Sixth Patriarch is helping us to clarify this blurred distinction.
他这个达摩讲的这个六祖讲的功德是在法身里面哈，不是在福里面。这个法身呢，其实法身，这个法身其实就是我们每一个人的内心的这个叫本性法性。那个，所以是它是不生不灭的，它也是不增不减的，不来不去的。所以每一个人，虽然每个人都有功啊，每个人都有功德，但是我们没有发起，我们就在外向事向外境向外呢，啊，在事项上去追求，哎，就是在让那个福呢，其实是有尽的哈，不像这个功呢，其实就在法身中，它也可以说是无形无相，但是它是跟一切事情、一切世间的有一些造作呢，是没有绝对的关系。但是在我们本每一个人本性当中呢，就是有功的存在，跟你修不修行呢，也是没有绝对的关系。
So the sixth patriarch said, merit and virtue are in the dharma body, not in the cultivation of blessings. This dharma body that we're talking about, it's our self nature.And our self-nature, there's no rising and succession of self-nature. The self-nature does not increase nor decrease. It's inexhaustible, and it's not clinging onto forms. And, sentient beings of the world, ordinary people, we cling on to external phenomenons and external forms instead of returning to this dharma body, this self-nature. The self-nature is within us the whole time. Like I said earlier, there's no increasing and no decreasing. So it's not in what you do or not do. The self-nature is there, either you cultivate, and it's there still, even if you don't cultivate.
他来讲说，那跟修行不修行没有绝大的关系。但是如果我们不修行呢，我们的功就没办法发起。我们本来这个功作用呢，功能呢，你就没办法显现。所以还是要修行的。
So, but at the same time, even though your self-nature, this intrinsic merit is already there, and you could be saying, well, if you're saying it doesn't matter whether I cultivate or not cultivate, then there's no need for me to practice. That's not true. If you don't practice, then we would not be able to utilize this function of our self-nature.On the other hand, if we practice, then we'll become more and more skilled in using the functions of our self-nature. So we really do have to pay attention to how shall we practice and cultivate.
怎么修功德呢？这个辨别功德呢？这六祖呢？这他告诉我们有几个？有五条哈。修功德的这个过去我们讲的三四条一样。
Okay, so how do we practice and how do we cultivate this merit and virtue? So the sixth patriarch had in this chapter, the beginning part, the first half of the chapter, then go into further details about how to go about cultivating this merit and virtue and using the function of our self nature. There are about five statements, and I think in our previous discussions we have already touched upon at least three or four of them.
这个第一个是见性是功，平等是德。
The first one is seeing your own nature is merit, and equanimity is virtue.
所以我们再来讲一下什么是功哈。那其实功呢，就是其实一种努力，应该是一种努力吧，一种修行啊。所以说还是要修行嘛，一种用功的一种过程。
So the Chinese character of merit, it also has another meaning, and we can also learn from that meaning, which is merit also means to exert effort, to work hard. So in other words, it still means that we have to practice in order to utilize our self-nature.
这个见性呢，见呢，这个见性，大每次法师都讲很多了哈，就是见你的法性，见你的本来面目，就明心见性，见到你们每一个人，刚刚讲说每一个人都有那种本来的这个真正的心性，你的本性啊。
And as for seeing your own nature, this is a topic that all the Dharma masters here have talked about many, many times already. To see your own self nature, to recover it, and to see it, and to clarify your mind. So these are all ways to, these are all expressions that you use to talk about how to return, get back to your original nature.
这个在努力，这功呢，就是说你很，这、就是一种用功哈，就好像这个一个大将军在战场的很努力的这个跟这个敌人的厮杀，就是一种建功啊，这一种努力的过程，还得到一个得呢，就是得到一种结果，努力的一个结果，就好像这个。我们将军里面的将军打胜仗回来了，皇帝给你一个封了，就是给你一个什么结果，得到什么结果，挣到什么果。
So again, the Chinese character of merit, 功 is used for exerting effort, working hard, and at the same time, it also has the meaning of making some sort of accomplishment. So just like imagine a general leading an army, fighting really hard on the battlefield. The general then, so he is in the process of making an accomplishment, creating some sort of glory for himself. And then for the word virtue over here, in Chinese character, there's also another word has the same pronunciation, and the meaning is to receive and to gain. We can also see it this way, where after you have worked hard, then you reap the benefit, you reap the result of your hard work. Just like the general, he had won, succeeded in the battlefield and returning to the capital and getting rewarded by the emperor. So you could see it that way, working hard and then reaping the result of your hard work.
对，我们翻译菩萨讲得很好，说功跟德，其实我们中国的文字真是非常的巧妙。这个英文很难那个，但你翻得很好。这个德就是那德跟音一样哈，意思其实又是一样的，意思有相同，就是得到。可是其实我们是得到吗？也是不是得到？不是从外面得到哈。我们世间法是用得到，是从外面得到什么东西？但是修行不是的，是意思好像得到，其实是一种开启、升起、一种显现。大家知道吗？是，因为没有办法去用文字来解释，所以不得不用这样的字。但是这个字，这个感觉到又很巧妙。那总是它不是总是强调，不是从外面得的。我们一切的这个怎么说平等是德呢？所以这种我们每个人的心性，我们真心里面本来就有这种德用，就是平等的这种心性的德用。就因为一切众生是平等无二的，心佛众生三无差别。我们迷了，我们偏了。我们分别心是很强的，我们是非常的执着的，非常的大小眼。我们常常说势利眼、大小眼，这种种的。我们在骂人的时候说你这大小眼、势利眼什么，这个这种种的这种犯分别。稍微讲一下，讲了很多下，我好烦了。
Okay, okay. So like we said, the word virtue, again, in Chinese, with a different character but same sound, it has the meaning of gaining something, reaping the benefit of something. But I do have to emphasize that when we are practicing, cultivating in the Buddhist sense, we do not gain anything externally. So instead of gaining, perhaps a better way of going about describing it is you are rediscovering or you are triggering something that's already innate within you. You are bringing your innate Buddha nature into manifestation. So about merit and virtue, it's really to rediscover, recover your own self-nature and recover all the functions that this self-nature is able to exhibit. So, but we don't do it that way. In our everyday interactions, we don't exercise equanimity. Even though you often heard of this expression where the mind, the Buddha, and sentient beings are all equal, but that's not how we work. We make distinctions all the time, and we think someone or something are better than others. So that is not a function of our self-nature.
这个为什么要想解释一下这平等，为什么这个真正的这个大德呢，在大善知识呢，他已经修到成程度呢，他对一切众生是平等平等，其实我们有上次讲过我们赵州禅师嘛，他有没有接待客人三种的方式。
So I want to talk about equanimity in further details. All the great sages and patriarchs, great masters, after they have achieved certain state in their cultivation, they naturally exhibit the quality of equanimity. For instance, last time we have used this example of Dharma Master Zhao Zhou, and whenever he encounters, interact with people, he has three particular methods that he uses.
这个如果他这种三种的招待客人不同的方势呢，像一个是在禅椅上见嘛，有没有大家记得没有？一个就是在应该是在大厅接见，另外就是他跑到大门口去接近客人。这一般世间人不懂的想说，哇，这个法师也是大小眼哈，势利眼。So
Master Zhao Zhou, there are three ways he welcomes a guest. One, he welcomes them by sitting on his chair. The second one is he will come to the great room, the living room, the great hall to welcome the guest. The third one, he will come even as far as the gate of the temple to welcome the guest. So people usually when they see this or when they hear this, they always think, oh, you know, so Master Zhao Zhou is nothing special. He is... making distinctions, differentiations all the time. He doesn't treat people all equally.
我上次也讲过，其实大善知识呢，他们因为知道对方的一种内心的程度，对方内心的那种这个知值啊，或者他所知这个观念想法，为了接引众生呢，他有很多的善巧方便的。
But in truth, for these great patriarchs, they have the ability to gauge the level of the visitors, and they can tell what kind of methods will be most appropriate for each visitor, each student. So they have a lot of expedient means to interact with each individual.
那我们世间人是什么平等是要就是站在好像。 一个这个大家同样一起站，大家把头前面头发同样一样齐，不同的头高速的头就把砍掉，这样才叫平等。For
ordinary people like us, when we talk about equanimity, we feel like everybody should be at a level footing, should be of the same height. So if someone's head sticks out, oh, easy, we'll chop it off. That's how usually, that's what people like us, that's how we interpret or exercise equanimity.
这不是真平等，那是假平等，这样观点是不是真的平等的观念，是假的，错误的平等观念。But
that sense of equanimity of everybody on equal footing or everybody should be the same height is not the right way of interpreting equanimity. It's not true equanimity.
这个，所以我们还有另外还讲说智者巧之奴嘛，
巧什么？
巧者拙之奴，巧者拙之奴，就是努力的奴嘛。就是说，智慧能力高的人呢，要为世间社会上的普遍能力差，这个能力不行的人，要为他奉献，为他服务。对，应该是这样，应该是这样，是平等的观念，应该是这样子的。
真的，
如果智慧能力强的人，他还跟这个能力差的人比较计较，说同样吃一碗饭哈，同样住这样的房子，为什么我要做这么辛苦的事情？为什么你能够享受什么这个可以这么安逸的，不要做很多的事？为什么我同样的嘛，我没得到更好的享受啊？就真的计较的话，那就不是真正的这个平等，那他不是真正的有智慧。
So, instead, one way of exercising true equanimity is thinking about the expression where those that are more wise will exert effort and work hard for the benefit of people, the lesser people, people of less wisdom, of less endowment or intelligence. So you instead of reaping the benefit of your advantage and thinking that, well, then of course I'm entitled to live in grand houses and have all these worldly benefits. Those that are more better endowed with intelligence or with certain kind of resources should actually work hard in, to create some benefit for those of lesser means.
大家听得懂这道理吗？
So do you understand what I'm trying to say?
如果有问题可以提出来哈。
At any time, if you have any questions, feel free to raise your hand.
所以这观念呢，真的是这个观，如果这个观念有知道懂的话呢，这个家庭里面呢，你就会很和乐。这个赚的钱多的人呢，能力强的人呢，他会愿意呢为家里的比较弱势的这个人呢，弱势的这个亲友呢，你会多奉献、多帮忙，乃至于你看扩大我们世界上有这个像在这些世界上好多的这个大富翁啊，他们真的有这种。这个跟佛法观念讲相同的，他就是那种平等心呢、啊。因为他这么富有，他觉得其实是把他多有多出来的东西呢，要普遍的回馈到社会上，帮助这些弱势、能力比较不行的那些，或者是现在世界上哪里比较需求的这地方，他把他的多的东西，把他的那些都奉献布施出来。
If you truly understand this aspect of equanimity, then and apply it into your everyday living, then indeed your family will be extremely harmonious. And those people in the family who are doing better will naturally feel inclined to reach out to those who are not doing so well. Similarly, in this society, there are many, many wealthy people. And they seem to understand these concept of equanimity already. So they use their wealth to create opportunities and reach out to help out, reaching out to people that are less fortunate.
因为在讲到佛法的时候，讲这个善知识们能会这样的平等看一切众生呢，所以他透过他的智慧呢，把这个时空拉长拉远了。所以从这个智慧来的，透过智慧呢，他的慈悲心的升起，所以看到一切众生，现在看到这一切众生呢，所以种种的这状况呢，所以他不会以他的这种小心眼来看呢，慈悲心呢能够包容，而不会有任何的像我们一般实验就是这种分别执着心来对待，大家听得懂吗？
So for people who are able to understand and exercise equanimity, they use their wisdom and they broaden their scope. Instead of focusing on taking a quick snapshot of the present moment, they broaden it and lengthen the time span and lengthen the distance and having a more a broader perspective of things. So in that sense, they're not going to discriminate against those that are less fortunate, and instead they will be willing to reach out to them.
我们是这样子，我们的分别心是这样，跟我好的哈，护持我的人哈，我们就跟他就对他很好，然后对我不好或者我看不顺眼，我讨厌的人，我就大小心了，就大小眼，就是对他就是不是好眼，好眼色，好好这个好好好对好对待。
So, but in, for us, we don't really understand this concept of equanimity or being equal. So usually the way we interact with the world is for whoever supports me, is nice to me, I'll be nice to them as well. But for those who don't treat me so well, then, you know, they will have their share of cold looks and bitter words. Also,
我们会有叫什么这种结党结派，就是狐群狗党啊，这个你是这一党，我是这一派的，就是这个党派对立很明显的。So
we have the tendency to form cliques, this group and that gangs and people of similar interests, similar likings. They form a little clique and create oppositions for other groups.
这个六祖呢，我是印象中他这个他那种心性呢，他是开发那种心性呢，他对这个甚至对要杀他的人呢，他都没有那种嗔恼嗔恨的心呢。他曾经有一个，当时有这个南北这个纷争嘛，哈，他是远走这个南方嘛，在南方弘法，是这么讲说，北方的派这个杀客刺客。 要来杀六祖，他就侵入到他的寝室里面，而且刀子砍他的脖子，但砍不断了，就这么样的神奇哈，砍不断。当时他六祖还叫他赶快走，你赶快走，他没有把他抓起来，他会什么？我们是叫赶快，你要杀我，你就不得了，我就先杀你这样。我们是这样的回应啊。这六祖不是的，说你赶快走，我的弟子呢，说知道你这么一个刺客呢，他不会饶你的，赶快走。 是这么样子，这个大德的这个风范是这样子，而且我所知道的历史的这个公案呢，不是只有六祖是这样子，另外一个过去在佛陀很早以前，另外一个善知识也是这样，都是那种明心见性的大善知识，他对要对他真正有对他有生命之后这个杀害的人的，他也不会像我们的，马上就是你杀我，马上更快的杀把你杀死嘛，一般人是实际是这样子保护自己，但善知识不是这样子，他这个是。 就叫你赶快走，因为弟子们都没有见性，两边我所知道两个大善知识都是这样，弟子们没有见性，分别心很执着的，拥护自己的主人，拥护自己的师父，说这个要杀我师父，这不得了，是我敌人，一定要杀，要抓，他说这两个这叫赶快走，否则以后你会有生命的这危险，这个后来这个人呢，这个沙克呢也变成他的弟子，也跟着他来出家，好像这么一个说法。
So based on what I know, what I read, of these great masters and sages and their cultivation, the practice of equanimity is really quite incredible. For instance, for the sixth patriarch Huinen, he is even able to treat people who are trying to kill him with kindness and compassion. At that time, at the time of the sixth patriarch, within the Chan school, there is a dispute between the northern school and the southern school, and the sixth patriarch represents the southern school, and so the northern school, they send some assassins down to the south to try to kill him, and this assassin in the middle of the night sneaked into his room and put a knife to his neck and tried to cut it, chop it off, but because of some miraculous power, the assassin wasn't able to actually chop the head off. So, even at a moment like this, the sixth patriarch said to the assassin, "Hurry up, run away. Don't let my disciples catch you. If they catch you, you will be in big trouble. They will harm you and perhaps even kill you. So hurry, hurry, run away." So even at the moment where someone is trying to kill him, he's not like us who we would think, oh, you know, in the name of self-defense, I must hurry up and, you know, stick a knife into that person and to protect myself. But no, instead, he was indifferent about his own life and told the assassin to hurry up and protect his own life and run away. And based on what I know, the sixth patriarch wasn't the only person who is like that. There are many great sages. At least there's another one of similar situation where he was about to get killed, but instead of struggling or self-defense, that master also told the assassin to hurry up, run away to protect his own life. Because they understand their disciples, of the sixth patriarch, the disciples don't have the same sense of equanimity. When they see an assassin trying to kill their own master, they will gang up and try to capture the assassin. So this is just a story to demonstrate how incredible their cultivation is and their sense of equanimity, how well they not only they know it but they're able to execute it.
因为这个哦，有疑问啊，请说。
Is there a question?
、our understanding of equanimity is at a lower level, and we play favorites basically, and we form like groups and cliques. Is that wrong to do? The actual forming of the clique?
那结成小圈圈啊，结群狗党的，这个真的是
没有，也不是啊。他只要不要彼此制造困扰、矛盾冲突，这是 OK 的啦。只因为这是我们凡众生的烦恼性是正常的，就是能够互动的好、谈得来的，就常在一起嘛，这是正常啦。但是这不要圈圈之间呢，团体之间呢，不要互相制造矛盾冲突，彼此困扰，让很多让自己也不快乐，让团体之间这个或整个空间这个都不舒服，都不安宁，都不好，这样就不好。
So it's fine. It's normal. That's what we do. That people of similar likings, similar interests attract each other. So naturally, you form smaller groups and form circles of friends. However, it's important to keep in mind, to the least we can do is not create any opposition with another group, not create a sense of antagonism and create more vexations for other people. So what, you know, even having your own little circle of friends, as long as you're not creating more vexations for other people, creating conflicts, then that's understandable and that's okay.
所以总之的这个善知识呢，一定要修行到见到自己的，见到宇宙世间的道，真正的道理，这个应该就是空性，一切世间的这个反，一切世间的人呢，事物的反应呢，这是一个暂时的过程。所以他的智慧升起之后呢，自然他的慈悲心也能够包容一切的人事物，所以他不会像我们凡夫呢这么样子的这个狭隘啊，这个狭小，这个一切都以自己我的利益，我自己的为出发。
So these great patriarchs and very well cultivated beings, once they have penetrated the truth, understanding the universal truth of the world and seeing their true self nature, they will understand that whatever phenomenon or matters, people that we encounter are merely transient. They are not the ultimate, and so they're all in passing.So in that sense, they will naturally manifest the sense of compassion and wisdom. And instead of clinging onto the false sense of self, they will also understand that's also transient and exercise equanimity with those people they encounter.
就好像一个在高山上在爬山的人，他已经爬到最高顶，他往下看了，这个还有很多人就慢慢爬上来嘛。他是在不同的点上的，在不同的程度嘛。每个人众生是这样子的，他你开始爬，还有已经后面更后面才开始爬，这是不同程度。所以他看这最高点的看呢，其实他都能够接受，能知道他们的状况，这是一种，这是自然，这是那种平等心、平常心来看待一切的。
It's just like an avid hiker, and this person has climbed up to the peak. Of the mountain, a very tall mountain. And when you look back down, you see all these hikers, all at different stages. Some are way down and some are in the middle. And the person at the very top, understands the situation, what is going on with each hiker. And they will understand that it's all, they understand and can be understanding as well of each person's situation. And they will know that they're all cultivating, eventually will reach the top.
那我们这在下面的人就看到自己的状况，就看到自己这个范围能看到，就只以为是，看你自己所知道有限的一些范围，你就以为这个是非常的真实，非常的非常执着，那其实就是自己就有错误的这种见解，错误的这种行为。
And because the one at the top is able to see, has gone through the process, him or herself, and can see what's going on down underneath. So this person is able to have a sense of equanimity of everyone in front of him, and he understands each of their conditions. But for those people who are still in the process of making their way to the top, their scope is very limited. They only see what's in their immediate surrounding, so they are focused on themselves and struggling with their surroundings. So in that sense, their views are very narrow and egocentric.
How is it that they understand what people need? Is it that their practice is so deep that they have a deep sensitivity to other people's needs? Do people, is it an intuition that they develop? Is it supernatural powers?
How can you raise this kind of question? I already said that just climb the mountain. You already to the top of the mountain. You know everything.
他说是直觉吗？是直觉还是有什么神通？
不用了，刚刚就讲那个问题，爬山就知道了嘛。就是要怎么解决问题呢？是不是这样
？Talked about it. They have gone through the process themselves, so you don't need any intuition or spiritual power. You've been through it yourself, so you know.
So you just look at someone, you say, he needs this.
好好努力就知道了。
Just work hard, then you will understand.
他有问题啊！哇，这讲不完了，不然准备讲死。
It is said that YM became enlightened when he heard someone on a street corner say that when the mind has no base, it will become enlightened. The mind having no base, meaning the mind having no sense of judgment, no sense of condemning other people, knowing for sure who is right and who is wrong, making decisions arbitrarily. The mind having no base is the base of YM Buddhism, as far as I can see.
基本上他所听到这些佛法是没有问题的，没有错，是这么讲的。
So basically, your understanding is correct. That is some basic understanding of Buddhism, that there is no attachment to things.
好，我们现在继续讲哈，因为讲到这个，讲太多太时间不够。
We'll move on right now and continue on with the original lecture at this time.
我们再讲第二个功德呢，这个他说什么是功德？念念无滞，常见本性，真实妙用，名为功德。这个是很具体的。我是个人觉得呢，就是很具体告诉我们怎么去修啊。这是讲到修行的方法，直接就切入叫做我们修行的方法，其实就是真的就是禅宗修行的方法，念念无滞，常常的让你的心念没有被任何一个东西挡住，念头起来让它过去，念头挡。起来让它过去，这个是基本的禅宗的修行的方法哈。
So we'll move on to the second statement about a description of what merit and virtue is. To be unobstructed in every thought, constantly seeing the true, real, wonderful function of your original nature is called merit and virtue. And to me, this line is very clear and direct, showing us the exactly how you should practice according to the Chan school of teaching, where you are supposed to free your mind. It's not attached to any particular thought. Thought, it just comes and goes, but the thoughts are not obstructed by anything and not attached to any particular phenomena. And this is the way we should practice.
这就是我们法鼓山师父是讲的两大的法门吗？ 里面一个是哪一个法门？诸位猜猜看。
So the Dharma Drum Mountain, our Shifu, Master Sheng Yan, has taught two main approaches, teachings of cultivation. So how does this relate to, which one does it relate to?
你们也要猜一下看。
Take a guess, please.
Huh? 哎呦，不是，不是啊，不是，木造法门吗？
It's related to silent illumination, where your mind is unobstructed by anything.
其实木造其实就是这样子啊，你就是清清楚楚嘛，你六根对六尘，清清楚楚，你的眼睛看到什么，耳朵听到什么，你身体感觉到什么，你就知道。但是你保持，你不要挂碍，你不要就是哎呦，这个东西好美丽哦，哇，这个人长得怎么这么丑啊？应该怎么样比较，然后就完美一点，这些都是打妄想。 这样他听到什么声音，哇，这声音好美，或这声音好丑，他怎么讲我的坏话？怎么又在批评我？他又在东家长西家短呢？这是种种的分别心。你如果这样子的话呢，你就是念念就是有智，那你就没办法进到你的本性真实的妙用。你的这个我们本性真实妙用，就是太多的这个德用了。刚刚讲的平等心、平常心，它是里面一个之一，一个德用。
So this statement of unobstructed in every thought corresponds with silent illumination. And silent illumination basically is that you have to be clear and lucid about everything you encounter and not make any judgments. So your six sensory organs pick up information, stimuli in the six sensory objects, and that's it. You stop there, and you don't make any judgment. You don't think, oh, this is so beautiful, I like it, or oh, why is that guy so ugly? If you make this kind of judgments, then your thoughts are no longer unobstructed. It becomes attached and misguided. And so you want to stay clear and lucid of your surrounding environment, yet not attached and make judgment about anything.
哦，手机帮忙关掉。
Can you please turn off your cell phone, please?
这个我在想到一个，我最近在 LOA 碰到一个菩萨，那个老菩萨，当然也不是很老，大概六十几岁，六七十的吧。他这个人呢，常常当义工啊，来到场帮忙值班。他常常跟我讲，这个说他从他跟法师对话里面就知道他的挂碍啊，就是念念有志啊。
So what we're talking about actually reminds me of a case of this volunteer that I encountered in Los Angeles. And this person has been with the center for quite a long time. This person is not actually that old. Maybe perhaps she's in her 60s or 70s. But just based on whatever she's talking with the Dharma Masters, Fashis, I could clearly see where this person is tripping up on. And so for this person, she is not exercising to be unobstructed in every thought. Instead, she is being very obstructed in her every thought.
她有什么挂碍呢? 她的挂碍是她的儿子。
What are her attachments? Her attachment is her son.
所以看到诸位，你们有儿子或儿女的，大家注意听哦。
So for those of you among the audience, if you have children, son or daughter, now pay attention.
他这个儿子呢，其实他儿子也不是这么小，也不是孩子未成年呢，他才儿子三四十岁，你看他这妈妈七十岁的嘛，儿子一定是三四十岁，这已经结婚了，已经有孙子了，但是他这个妈妈呢，就这么放不下，他这个媳妇呢，这个是好像是印尼的媳妇，他固定的寒暑假什么都要带孙子带他儿子回娘家去探亲，然后一回去就一两个月啊，他这个。 他就是这个妈妈就开始担心他儿子的媳妇不在身边啊，没人煮啊，要怎么样啊？就是每次他在煮很多，带过去，老远跑过去，他在 LA 一个地方很远的，要开车去，一个小时冲过去，帮儿子打理好，做饭菜之后呢，还要帮他弄他围篱啊，他的燕子啊，怎样帮他做好，因为他儿子很忙，他说这个儿子没有饭吃不行啊，所以这个每天都是这样子，就冲来冲去这样子，冲过到场来，还没在到场之前，先冲去儿子家。
So this volunteer in Los Angeles that I'm speaking of, she is attached to her son, and she worries about her son constantly. Her son is not young. He's not a baby or a teenager. He's already like 30 or 40 something. But this mother is still very vexed and very worried about him. For instance, and the son actually is married, he has his own kids. His wife is from Indonesia, so every summer she brings the grandkids back to Indonesia to visit her own family. And usually the vacation will be a month or two. So then this volunteer worries constantly about, oh my God, you know, my daughter-in-law is gone, so who's going to feed my son? Who's going to take care of him? So even though it's a very long distance from where she is to her son's place, it's over an hour drive, but almost every day she would rush over to her son's place to cook for him, clean his house, do his laundry, fix up the fence, do the yard work, and then rush to the center to volunteer. And so day in and day out, he rushes in, rushes out. And I ask her, why do you have to be so busy? And she says, there's nothing I can do. You know, I can't do anything about it. I do have to take care of my son, otherwise he's going to go hungry.
还有就是他儿子的经济问题啊。 这个因为这个他的收入多少都是没有详细问，但是就是他是意思说担心他的孩子的收入不够，到时候孙子要怎么能够养长大呢？这个教育问题他想很多，很替他儿子的这个很担忧他的这薪水不够，怎么去养这个养家活口，他很担心。And
she's also very worried about her son's income. I didn't ask her how much he earns, but she just seems to be very, very worried, preoccupied about do they have enough? Then what about going to college? The grandkids going to college, will they have enough? She's just very perplexed about all these questions.
我就看她那脸的长相，就一脸的那个很操劳哈，很辛苦的脸，就很辛苦的脸啊。
I looked at her face, and her face shows someone who has been going through a lot of toils and a lot of worries and hard works. Her face tells the whole story.
然后脸常常皱着眉头的，这样皱着眉头，这样，这个不知道怎么皱，就皱着，反正常常皱着。And
her brows are often furrowed. I don't even quite know how to do it. I don't know how she's able to furrow her brows that way.
他是常常皱着，我每次看到他就把眉毛打开，像眉毛打开呀，眉毛打开。Every
time I see her, I do this. Open up your brows, open it up, you know, stop furrowing your brows.
其实说穿的，他儿子其实也没有这么不好呢，也没有这么让他妈妈老妈妈这么担心呐、啊，没有啊，就是其实他吃什么，他好像他儿子自己也没有，不是儿子叫他妈妈一定要来帮他煮，没有，不是的，完全都是他自己妈这个妈妈的一厢情愿的，自己放不下，就是一直。 一直心里挂着这个，我这儿子没得吃啊，我这儿子这经济不够啊，是完全是他妈妈自己那种烦恼心，那种牵挂，那种执着啦。再有都是孩子啊，但是他这那时候他，那是还没有学佛之前的哈，学佛之后你慢慢观点要改。
So it's not really as if the son is that bad. You know, he's doing fine. He's surviving. And his income seems to be fine. And he never asked her to rush there every day to cook for him. I'm sure he can very well take care of himself. But for some reason, his mom is just really worried and not able to let go. And someone in the audience just said, you know, for a lot of Chinese parents or Taiwanese mom, the way they think is no matter how old the child is, they forever stays as a child. Not all of them, obviously, but this is one opinion in the audience. And so in that sense, that is maybe perhaps you think that way before you start learning the Buddha Dharma. But now, as you're learning the teaching, you should start to let go and let go of that kind of thinking.
我继续讲，这个我知道这么一个人，这菩萨之后想说，怎么帮助他？他最后孩子已经长大了，你比他大一半年纪，你怎么会先走？你这样子照顾他，他以后怎么办呢？没有你，他怎么办呢？
So I think about her case often and kept thinking, how is it that I can help her? And so I tell her, you know, you are older than your son, and one day you will die. You will pass away before your son. So if you continue the way you are right now, who is going to take care of him after you die?
儿孙自有儿孙福啊，你就不用这么样的操心。你看你操的这样，你才这么操劳，这么看着感觉这么老，这么辛苦的一个样子。那好好自己用功，你可以回向，你可以念佛诵经，回向你儿女，回向给他。这个做你总是比较最就近嘛，最有用嘛。
According to Buddhism, everybody has his or her own conditions and affinities they bring with them all their past karma, retributions, etc. So, and in Chinese saying, there's also a saying that the children and the grandchildren has their own merits and blessings. So you really don't have to worry about them. So that's what I was telling her, that you have to let go. And if you're really worried, you can recite the Buddha's name or recite sutra and then transfer the merits, which is transfer the blessings to them. So that's one way you can help out. Instead of worrying yourself sick and making yourself look so old and so tired.
就过去两个月，那两个月多的时间，每次他来，我就开始跟他念，开始刺他的烦恼处，每次就针对他的这个他的不对的问题，每次都跟他讲。那后来呢，这个后来他讲说他已经改进了，他自己讲说，朋友，其他菩萨也在讲，他说，乌啦，我改进，今嘛哈比他还呐，今嘛哈比他还，哈比一直还，很多人嘛，但因为我在一直提，叫菩萨大家一起在帮助他，所以他一直其实一种习惯，其实说诸位菩萨，其实我们的一种习惯。 我们的就是一起错误的习惯，错误的这种造作养成，是不断的这种恶性的这种累积。就是学习佛法之后，就要正面的思想，这佛法的智慧的观点来看一切事物，乃至包括自己的亲人，都是一样的。个人有个人的福德因缘，小孩子小时候，我们的父母责任呢，就是教导他正确的观念，要教他给他好的教育。那这个长大之后就不是我们能做的了。 是不是？那我还能我们能做，就是我们可以我们修行的功德回向给他，让他能够，能够变得更好。这是我们能做，而不是一直常常念念就想到是他怎么办，未来怎么样。这个都是于事无补嘛。这就是要关心。师父常常讲的哈，我们要关心，你不要担心啊。担心于己于他都没有好，没有改善。 我们应该基本上还是算我们都想讲翻功德。
I was in Los Angeles for over 2 months, and during my stay over there, whenever I see her, then I try to poke at her issues and try to help her loosen up her vexations. So after 2 months of challenging her, poking her, and trying to undo her worries, she is these days she comes back and tells me that I think I'm worrying, I'm trying to worry less, and I think I'm doing better now. And similarly, volunteers around her also tell me that she seemed to worry a little bit less now. So the help of the people in the surroundings, the other volunteers, together can become quite powerful. So I tell her that, in fact, oftentimes our behaviors and the way we think are accumulations of bad habits. It forms a pattern, and we continue to perpetuate this bad habit. And so now learning Buddha Dharma, we have to revert the process and to undo the damage and to think positively. That's what learning Buddha Dharma is about. So I tell her it's really useless for you to think about all those. Worrying so much does no good to either you or your son. What does it do? Just like Shifu tells us that, of course, you should care. Care about your family, care about people, but not worry. Caring, but not worrying. Because if you worry, it does no one any good. So she's gradually able to worry less.
他又学打坐，我记得说开禅净班，他也学打坐，然后又开始念，叫他多少念儿孙哈，多念佛，他本来说只有念500声，我说不够，再多念佛，转念哦，转念念佛，不要念儿孙啊，他慢慢的习惯，慢慢的改。
So I also she's also starting to learn meditation and also reciting the Buddha's name. Before, she recites 500 times a day, and I tell her, not enough. You have to recite more. Reciting the Buddha's name can help you transform your mind. So instead of worrying and being attached to your children, every thought you transfer and change it to recitation of the Buddha's name. And use it to transform your own mind. And furthermore, you can use this, your cultivation, your practice, recitations, meditation, and transfer the merit and virtue to your children. And that's basically as much as you can do for them.
就是其实修行就是一个习惯而已，就是纠正你的错误的习惯的转成跟佛法相应的那个智慧慈悲的这个好的习惯，这样子而已，这就叫做修行。
So basically, cultivation or this practice that we're talking about is merely trying to transform your bad habits into good habits that correspond with the wisdoms of Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. That's all. That's as simple as it gets.
我再回头讲，谈经讲念念无字呢，常见本性真实妙用。所以念念无字呢，并不是表示说你不能没有念头，是但是念，对不起，念头起来的时候，你不要把这念头看成。 哇，这念头是这么真实，这对我太重要了，他这个太重要，这一定要就是把这个追究到底，就开始就是纠缠不已的。So
going back to the statement that we were talking about, to be unobstructed in every thought, it doesn't mean that you cannot have any thoughts. It means to not be attached to a thought. Whenever a thought arises, you do not overly emphasize it. You don't think, oh, this. You know, whatever you're thinking, this thing is so important to me. Without it, I cannot live. You see it as what it is. It's a thought. That's what it means to be unobstructed in every thought.
常常念，让你心念念保持空哈，保持空明、清楚。那你这个空，你这样还能够明。首先要空啊，我们如果装了太多的这个念头、太多想法，自以为是这种种的呢，你这个我们的本性呢就没办法升起，没办法发起。
So what we have to do is to constantly try to let the mind be lucid and free and empty. As it has to be empty in order for the lucidity to come forth, in order for the Buddha nature to naturally surface. If you have too many thoughts, too many egos, thinking this, thinking that, then your Buddha nature is not going to be able to surface.
常常保持心念空。 然后放松清楚的话呢，这个我们的本来的智慧呢升起，这个智慧呢，并不是说什么神通啊，但是就是一种非常很冷静、很明白、很清楚的处理一切的事物，不带感情的。我们平常的处理事情是带感情，当然也不是说很冷酷了，就是很清楚的、恰到好处的呢，把一切事情处理好，很清楚、明白的交代一些事情。
So to keep the mind free, open, empty, and clear, then naturally your Buddha nature will surface. It doesn't mean to gain any spiritual power. Instead, it simply means to remain cool and clear about your interaction with the world, about things that you're dealing with. Again, being cool doesn't mean to be cruel or cold on feeling. Instead, it simply means correspond to each conditions accordingly and use the most appropriate method to deal with all the situations.
我们常常说这个灵光一闪嘛，没有灵光一闪嘛，有一些很好的主意，一些很好的这个点子就出来了。就是一定要首先呢，脑袋要放空，那才有能够灵光一闪。所以过去那个 Apple 那个总裁王生那个有没有？他也是用禅法，常常用方法呢，让你的心能够空，那个脑袋放松，自然很多他这个一种创作，用灵感就能升起。意思类似这样意思啊。当然这边更讲到更深的这个道理哈，整个，后面继续讲。
So oftentimes we say a stroke of genius or a flash of light. You need to have an open, empty mind in order for this flash of light or stroke of genius to come about. Steve Jobs, the founder of Apple, he is also himself a meditator, so he practices often, and so he's able to stay cool and calm and open-minded, and that's why he's able to generate so many ingenious ideas.
好，这也不能讲太久，哇，我看也是不够时间了。啊，再赶快，内心谦下是功，外行于理是德。
We have to move on. Inner humility is merit, and the outer practice of reverence is virtue.
这直接就也是讲，就是我们功德的在日常生活之中的一种相貌。
This is a description of what merit and virtue looks like as it manifests itself in our daily interactions.
这个就可以说，你修功德的人，或者已经具足功德的人，你的内心、你的身口自然会是这种相貌，就是你内心是很谦虚、很低下的，然后你外在的身口的表现呢，你是非常的谦谦有礼的，非常的恭敬的对待一切的事物，对待一切人事物。
So, if you have already reached certain attainment with your practice of cultivation of merit and virtue, then this is what it looks like. Internally, you're going to feel very humble, and externally, you will be very respectful and very reverent of whatever comes your way.
当然是从内在发起的，而不是说这个是因为老板是下对上，你故意表现出很谦虚啊，很有礼貌啊，那不是真的这边讲的，而是你内心真正的。对处理一切人事物呢，你真的是很谦虚、很低下，很有恭敬有礼。那大家看看我们自己内心是怎么样相貌，你就知道自己距离功德有多远了。
So the kind of humbleness, humility I'm talking about is self-generated. It's not because I'm interacting with my boss, so I have to pretend and look very humble and very lowly to please your boss.No, instead, it should be all generated from within. And so we can ask ourselves that, what does my inner mind look like? Am I humble? And am I being respectful of others in my behaviors? You can ask yourself to gauge your own practice.
我们常常会觉得自己某方面的一些成就就觉得很了不起，觉得别人都比不上你。然后这个你就是自然而然就是有这样心的，你的表现上在身口上，你就是觉得他不如你啊。你看，那你是不是有功德呢
？Oftentimes we become overly satisfied with some accomplishment that we have, and as a derivative of that, we can look at other people and think, ah, that person is lesser than me, you know, not as good as me. So if that's the case, then what do you think? Do you have any merit and virtue?
这个我们学禅法的人呢，这个更是要注意这个，因为禅呢说是无相的，学禅呢就是无形无相的，这是注重心法，所以就对身口的这个行为呢，身口的造作呢，就是不是很不认为不重要，因为最主要是心嘛，佛法讲心嘛， 所以这个这就会就会疏忽在这个我们身口，其实这个这样的观念想法是错误的。
And for those of us who are studying the Chan school of Buddhism, we have to be especially careful and pay attention to this one, because Chan is no form and it's no form. So we don't talk about the external phenomenons very much. We talk about the mind, what the mind is, or uncovering your Buddha nature. So we often have neglected to talk about your behaviors and your speech. So we actually need to pay attention to it as well, and not neglect that aspect of practice.
所以大家一定要知道，所以禅师不是说什么都可以，他都可以自在自由运用，他想要怎么样就怎么样。那这个社会这些道德规范，他们不受约束，因为他们已经悟到这个空啊，悟到无我，他们可以自由自在，想要怎么就怎么样，这是绝对的错误。真正的这个善知识呢，就是反而比世间人更懂得守法，更懂得这个礼貌。
So, it's not as if the patriarchs can just be willy-nilly with disregard to all the regulations and rules of the conventional world. And they can claim that, oh, I have already obtained emptiness, and so I can do whatever I want. I'm outside of the boundary of regulations. That is absolutely wrong. Instead, for people with true attainment, they are even more careful. And when you observe their actions and speech, they are very attentive to what they say and do, and they follow the rules and the regulations of the world.
这个根据这禅经的教导呢，其实我自己常在思维啊，其实我自己常常其实就是不是很注重这礼貌的人。我有自己有学禅的，是应该讲心嘛。其实刚刚讲的讲我自己啊。
I'm actually talking about myself because I often think about this and I'm all over this and because you know I study Chan, so perhaps I don't pay so much attention to being polite or conventional mannerism.
其实应该这么讲，我们学禅的人，就你还不到见性呢。一切事情一定要是要唯唯诺诺，非常的谨慎小心的，一切的真果义呢，都要这么样子的，要配合世间法哈的道理来运作，而不要把自己一下子超然去了，这是大大的错误。
Instead, studying Chan, we have to be even more careful about worldly regulations and conventional mannerisms.Be very careful about it. Before we reach a state of enlightenment and truly seeing our own self nature, we have to guard our speech and mind and actions very carefully.
然后我们再继续讲自信，见离万法是空，心体一念是德。
We'll move on to the next statement. Your self nature manifesting the 10,000 dharma is merit, and the mind substance separated from thought is virtue.
这是讲的更深一层的，这讲的这个自信建立万法，这个就是有点唯识的道理在里面了。
This is going even further, one step deeper, talking about how the self nature can manifest the 10,000 dharmas. This is actually related to the mind only school.
我记得上次。说讲建立，他们西方中有一个疑问哈，其实它只是一个翻译的用词而已啦。它其实就是说，应该是造就一个成就世间的一切，就是我们的心性，应该是说我们每一个人的心性，我们的本性，就根本的这个心性呢，若人欲了知三世一切佛，因观法界性，一切唯心造，就是它造就。这个一切的世间的万事万物，这意思是这样子。但是我们翻译成用建立哈，造成上次讲说一些西方中的一些疑问。
Last time when we talked about this phrase, instead of using manifesting, the word established was used. And so that created some confusions because establishing seems to be very willful, has intention. But over here, we're really talking about self-nature bring about and allowing the manifestation of all the merits of dharmas in the world.
一切这个自信就是我们的心性呢，会其实我们一切的事件的这个事事物呢，其实都是因为我们的心性所造作、所建立起来。
So everything, all the phenomena in the world are the manifestation of our own self-nature.
所以自信、心性是什么呢？其实就是我们在佛法来讲呢，就是我们的佛性，或者讲空性。 或是讲法身，讲涅槃哈，其实这一个最后归咎的应该是空性，最具体的。So
self nature is also called Buddha nature, Nirvana, Dharma body, but ultimately it's the same as the nature of emptiness.
所以空性呢，建立起一切的万事万物呢，所以空性就是无我的。 无我无事的这个性呢，建立一切的一切，我们若修学佛法，就是建立一切的佛事，造作一切的佛事。如果有佛弟子来讲，就是空性建造作一切的这个佛事。所谓佛事，就是利广度众生、利益群生的这些事情，就是一切的佛事。So
with emptiness creates or manifests. All sorts of phenomena in the world. And for Buddhists, there's a particular phrase that emptiness makes possible all the Dharma deeds, all the Buddhist deeds in the world. And what kind of Buddhist deeds? Helping, reaching out to sentient beings and helping people. Those are the Buddhist deeds we're talking about. But these are all possible because of emptiness.
所以如果我们这些佛弟子，我们做了很多的事，就像杨武帝一样，我们可能没有做，但是我们做了很多其他的，我们像大家义工或做什么冲线，或者是什么，总之我们做了很多的这个好事，利益世间社会的事，或利益道场的事。如果我们认为说我做了好多好事哦，哇，我怎么了不得？那你就没有功。
So we have to understand this principle of emptiness. Otherwise, just like the Emperor Wu, for those of us that volunteer here, and if you feel like, oh, I've done so many good deeds, devoting so much of my time, and doing this and doing that, if you think that, oh, then I must have accumulated so much merit and virtue, if that's the way that you think, then you will be indeed like Emperor Wu and actually not gaining anything whatsoever.
因为这边已经讲了嘛，自信建立万自信嘛。 所以自信，刚才已经讲了，就是我们的法性，我们的佛性，其实就是空性。空性就是无我嘛，没有为我什么嘛。它这在空性里面建立一切这个万法，这其实这些万法、这些佛事也是空，也是叫做什么？空中空叫什么？空花水月嘛。如果我们有这样的心性，这样子的这样的知见来做任何事的话，你才是真正的，就是没有烦恼，才真正的。
Well, why is it there's no merit and virtue? Again, we're saying the self-nature establishing the 10,000 dharma, and everything is created based on the self-nature. And what is the self-nature? It's the self-nature is empty. It's no self, and thus everything is empty. Just like empty flower, and it's just like the moon reflected on the surface of the water. And only if you can have this kind of understanding, then you will be able to reach true happiness and be truly at peace and at ease with yourself.
这是站在我们自己的立场，真的能够解脱的立场，而是这样子看，自信建立万法是功。那就真的，大家这如果说真的，刚才讲说没有功嘛，是真的没有功吗？
And so only with this understanding that we can understand that the self-nature establishing all phenomenons is the true merit.
我们不执着就有功了哈，不执着不居功，做一切万一切事要行，不是说都不要这个，那叫做那这样，不要布施，不要供养，不要斋僧，不是的，这些都要做，但是做了之后呢，心中不要有所得，不要说我做了好多好事，这你要想求果报，那这样子的话，那这个这是有限的，但是便是有限，你相对你不有所求，你不觉得不居功，里面我在做什么？这个我可能就是里面很多因缘里面我一个我在动而已。一个暂时这个我也是因缘嘛，暂时在动而已。我是居功，我是居中，刚好凑合这件事情，没有有我在做什么，这样你的功呢才大，才是真正的功。
So not to be attached and not self-glorify, not being egotistic is a true merit. So it's not, it doesn't mean that, oh, then, you know, if there's no merit, then I shouldn't do anything, I should just lay rot. No, you should continue to volunteer and continue to study, continue to do all that you have been doing, but you don't overly emphasize what you have done, thinking that I have done so much for this and that. If you think that way, then everything will become limited. But if you are able to be non-attached, have the true understanding that I am but a mere mechanism in this whole situation, that I'm here at this position which enables me to do this and that, and not be so attached on the sense of self and becoming very ego and self-glorifying. And in that sense, if you can understand all that, then you will truly be gaining merit.
没有说我在做什么，没有做了多大功劳呢？这样子的我，这样子呢，你的自我才能够慢慢的消融，慢慢淡薄，你的烦恼会慢慢减轻，智慧慢慢会升，越增长。
So stop thinking that I am doing this and I have done so much. If you're able to gradually move away from that, then your sense of self will gradually decrease, and you will start to have less and less vexations and become more free.
这是唱一个问题吗？你不要讲的扯得这么远，就是心性，就是我们的本性，就是我们的心性就对了。它只是不同的用法而已。这本《坛经》里面常常用自性，其实就是我们的心性。
So self nature. Well, the question is whether self nature is the same as the mind only and conscious only kind of concept. And the answer is that's getting too abstract, thinking too far. Just think about self nature as your Buddha nature. And self nature is a phrase that's commonly used in the Platform Sutra, and it's very straightforward. Your self nature. That's all.
好，我们今天时间就到了。